Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Join us online anytime you want. We do have our own social media platform. You can find that over at social.freetalklive.com and interact with other Free Talk Live listeners as well as some of the hosts of the show. Today I posted some horrifying photographs of a car that was parked in the Walmart parking lot here in Keene, New Hampshire. That apparently I had seen before, but for whatever reason, I did not recognize it. Bonnie said we saw it in a different parking lot at a different part of town some number of months ago, and I can't imagine why I didn't remember this. Maybe I just blocked it from my memory because it was that horrifying. It was a hoarder's car. And oh my God, was it bad. Literally the entire car, with the exception of the driver's seat, was full of garbage, of actual food, waste, garbage, had empty cups, empty milk jugs.
Had you not seen one of these before this particular car? I understand it was the same
car. I've seen hoarders' cars before. Okay. This was literally full to the brim, 100% full. I mean, there's different levels of this that exist out there, and you know, I haven't seen that many of them that were this bad in my lifetime. This was some of the worst, probably the worst, most filled car that I have ever seen, or at least that I recall seeing. I didn't recall seeing it the last time.
Well, and why would you? Who wants to remember that?
Right, that's what I said. I put it out of my mind.
I saw the photos, and I thought to myself, I haven't seen one of those since I left Seattle, Washington.
Really?
Yeah, I've never seen that in New Hampshire.
Wow.
Now, you know, I don't...
trashy people everywhere.
I don't go that far. New Hampshire's a small state, so, like, you know... but, like, some other things have been really nice about New Hampshire. Like, for example, I've been cured of my road rage.
Excellent.
It's not really true. I still have the road rage. It
just doesn't come up.
New Hampshire doesn't trigger it because there's way less traffic.
Drivers here tend to be courteous.
Drivers are far more courteous. Yeah, and it's just like, so when I drove across country last year, you know, when I hit like downtown Cleveland and downtown Chicago, right?
The road rage
came back. It was just hiding. Okay. It was still there. it still exists, but like, you know, but it's mainly just like me being mad at people driving stupidly when they don't have to. And that means different things to different people. To some people, doing the exact speed limit is the smart thing to do, right? And it's like, well, no, not always. Sometimes you got to go faster than the speed limit to be safe. And I know that doesn't make a lot of sense to people, but it's true. I avoided a collision by stepping on the gas and getting away from these two other idiots, right, who were, you know, swerving in and out and braking and, you know, all sorts of, and just like, I got no idea what you're doing. I got to get away from you guys. So I saw what was about to happen. We were on like a three-lane highway, right, and they were both going to swerve into each other. So I saw an opening. I hammered on the gas. I sped right through, and then they almost nearly collided because, like, behind me in my rearview mirror, I saw it. And, like, if I'd have been there, they would have collided into me. Because neither of them were paying attention to what they were doing.
Good thing you were paying attention, man.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
Now, on the dark side of that, of course, is that if there was a cop around, guess who would have got the ticket? Me.
Right.
Right?
Well, you know, and that's what I wondered about, just now thought of, this hoarder guy with a car just packed full of garbage. There's no way he could have used his rearview mirror. He certainly couldn't use his mirror on the passenger side of the vehicle. And I, you know, look, hey, you do your thing how you want in your car, whatever, but is that legal?
Really?
Well, I mean,
is that legal to drive around to where you cannot possibly see? You could, it's one thing to like, okay, your mirror's broken, whatever, right? You can still, in a normal car, turn your head and you can look so you're not running into somebody when you're trying to merge into traffic. This guy couldn't possibly look out the entirety of his glass in his car with the exception of the front and his driver's side window.
I'm trying to remember the phrase for it, but it's something like dollar figure bias. I think that's slightly incorrect, but this is the propensity for cops to pull over only those people they think will pay the ticket or can afford to.
Really?
Yeah. So like, oh, there goes a guy in a BMW. He can afford to pay the ticket. Huh. We're going to pull him
Are
over.
Are there studies on
yeah,
this?
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember where I heard it from. I heard it from another person, so I haven't, like, looked into it personally. But, like, it makes sense, right? If you're driving, like, a beat-up rust bucket, right, you're only doing 5 over, maybe 10 over, no one's going to do anything to you. But if you're in a nice car that's well-capped and it looks like you got some money, oh, that guy can afford it. We're going to pull him over.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because the rich guy is the one who's most likely to just go ahead and pay the fine because it means nothing to him.
And they don't have the time, right?
They don't have the time.
They got
busy.
A career. They got, kids, wife, whatever, all that
What's
stuff.
A $100 ticket to that guy?
Right.
Nothing. But but that's interesting because it's the reverse of most crimes, right? Because if that's true, and it sounds plausible.
I think that this was around the time when it was just coming to light about these police, well, they still do, they won't tell you, but they have these quotas.
Yeah, right?
Not a number of, some departments didn't have a number of tickets quota, they had a dollar figure quota.
Uh-huh.
So they needed to write $10,000 worth of tickets this month or something along those lines. And so that's where this phrase came from. And I think I'm using the wrong phrase, but it's something along those lines.
Right. There's another term called the departmental average. And so in a department, there's a certain number of officers who are assigned to the duty of the roads, right? And there's an average number of tickets over a month that is written by the department.
Yep.
Are you over the average? Are you on the average or are you below the average?
Right.
If you are below the average, you could face some sort of ramification, some sort of punishment for that. So that's the incentive that they give to encourage them to write more tickets, but it's not a quota. That way, whenever the department spokesperson or the chief or whoever or any of the officers, if they're talking, are authorized to speak to the media and somebody says, "You guys have a quota?" They can say, "No, we don't have a quota because it's a departmental average." And no one ever asks about, do they have a departmental average?
What they do count, though, is they count that average as revenue, right? So they count on, let's just say it's, $10,000 just for round numbers, $10,000 a month that they need to generate on average, right? That's the average department. Yeah. So they count that as $10,000 of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't make that mark, if you don't hit
above that, then
they're going to come to you and say, like, well, it's your fault. We've fallen below average, and we've lost money because of you.
You're going to get demoted
to
the
night shift. They call it lost money. They call it lost.
We're losing revenue
because you are below average in your tickets.
Start writing more tickets,
right,
officer.
Now, you'll notice, listeners, the horrifying thing about this discussion is that there's no incentive for protection or safety. The incentive here is to generate revenue.
Right.
That's the incentive.
So, I think you make an interesting point about the rich people with nicer vehicles being more likely to get ticketed. But on the other side of that, the reverse is true when it comes to other quote-unquote crimes that aren't real crimes, right? Like, speeding's not a real crime. It's not.
There's no property damage. There's no personal damage.
It might be risky, but there's certain circumstances wherein speeding is entirely appropriate. It's fine for the circumstances on the road. It's not raining or whatever, right? And that's, I think, most people speed. Almost everybody that drives speeds, so everybody accepts this, whether they want to admit it or not.
Yep.
But when it comes to the other quote unquote crimes, like marijuana possession or underage drinking or, you fill in the blank of the other victimless crimes that we're talking about here, prostitution, they don't tend to go after the rich people as often.
Right.
Because if you go and you sit into an arraignment, and I've sat in on many more than I can count, It's poor person after poor person after poor person after poor person, yep. And the cash register rings every single guilty plea because 99% of them plead guilty, and it's just, okay, here's your fine. That's $400-something for possession of blah, blah, blah. You can get, you know, get a, oh, you can't afford it right now? Because most of them can't, right? They don't have $400 sitting in the bank where they can just cut a check to the state. So then it's, oh, well, we'll get you on the payment plan, which, of course, means you're going to pay more because then they're going to finance you on your $400 payment and might end up being $600 when all is said and done, right? So that's sort of the other side of it. It's not like they're not picking on the poor people. They sure as hell are picking
on the poor
people.
They totally pick on the poor people.
It's just you're saying in speeding tickets specifically, they're picking on more likely to be rich people.
Yeah, and particularly state troopers.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, they're just sitting on the highway. They're watching cars go by. They're setting speed traps with their radar gun or whatever it is, you know. Ironically, I used to own a Chevy Citation. Circa 1986.
Okay.
It's the only car I've ever owned that I didn't get a ticket in.
And it's called a citation.
It's called a citation.
Let's go to the phones here. Somebody who loves hearing about ticketing. She loves monitoring and
cameras.
Oh, she
probably loves those cameras in Wyoming.
I bet she does. Sarah, were you on the line while we were talking about Wyoming and all their newfangled monitors and audio recording devices and cameras?
Really exciting, kind of, because remember I said that 300,000 people got their driver's license back?
Yeah, you did, but I asked you a question about the monitoring and all that, so I'm curious to what you think about that.
Well, you know, I don't know too much about it, but I think...
Weren't you on hold while we were talking about it? I know you've been on hold here for some time.
No, I was listening to about you guys that speeding, heard some of it, like you think the speeding causes no damage and all that.
Well, let's give you a quick rundown here. What happened, Sarah, was Jackson, Wyoming, town of 10,000 people, now has, I don't know how many hundreds or dozens or whatever of cameras and audio recording devices that are going to be distributed around the town that will be monitored by the police. It will automatically detect certain alleged crime noises like breaking glass or tires squealing or whatever, and it will send out notifications to the police. They're going to be scanning people's license plates. And
they're going to be tracking people's driving habits, where they go, what time, where they, how often, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if that sounds like something you want to be a part of in Albuquerque.
Well, we kind of do already have that noise detection. We have that for the gunshot. Yeah, we already have some of that.
Well, there are apparently 2,000 cities or something like that are participating in this, so maybe Albuquerque already has this particular technology, and so you're supportive of this sort of monitoring, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I really am, but...
Now, I want to see how far you're willing to go with this, because they're, the company that's behind this, there was it Falcon or something like that, or Flock? Right?
Falcon Systems.
Flock Systems,
yeah, that's what it was.
Anyway, they want also regular people to sign up to help keep things under control, to help monitor their fellow man and their fellow supposed citizens. So I'm wondering, you guys have a nice townhouse there in Albuquerque. You've told us about it before. Are you willing to go ahead and sign up and get some of these cameras mounted on your home so the police can monitor the feed from your cameras just in case of, you know, whatever it is they want to do?
Right now, it's not necessary.
Why not?
Because we're kind of like in a, like, it's not gated, but it's almost like a gated community, like a cul-de-sac.
Okay.
So we don't really have a gate, but everybody knows that there is a thief that enters a property. So, no, I mean, particularly, I wouldn't want that camera on my townhome.
So you're saying the reason you don't want a camera on your home that's monitored by the police, in theory, is because there's just not that much crime in your neighborhood?
That's correct.
Okay, so if there were more crimes, if people started getting, you know, their cars broken into or whatever, then that might encourage you to go ahead and put a police-monitored camera on your home?
Well, if I was to lived right on the street with mm-hmm. sidewalk where everybody could walk up and walk up to my window or something, I would participate.
Okay. You know, now, what about adding a camera to your backyard? Because you were talking about being on the street. What about putting a camera so where it can see what's going on in your backyard and your side yards as well?
Well, right now, our backyard is built towards the back. Mm-hmm. It's not necessary.
Most of them are.
The wall. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's why they're called backyards.
These homes were built like 20 years ago when we had a lot of crime building up in Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. So it was built with all the consideration, no alleyways, and all the backyards are pretty much the back, and everybody already has a lawn service system.
Okay, just I'm trying to understand here. Why is it you wouldn't want, well, if you're okay with putting a camera facing the street, why wouldn't you want a camera protecting your backyard? I mean, the police could be monitoring that, and they could catch somebody doing something naughty.
Well, I mean, it's your property. If you feel like it's necessary, it's up to you.
No. I'm asking you. I don't want to have anything to do with this crap. But I'm asking about you because you love to call in about speeding cameras, yep. And you love red light cameras. Yep. And I figure, you know, if you want to be consistent, Sarah, shouldn't you be putting police cameras on your home? And if not, why not? What do you have to hide?
Well, okay. I don't have any. My neighbors are pretty well. Maybe my 9-year-old girl might hop over the fence and drop her little bananas or something like that. That's mm-hmm. not all that happens.
Yeah, but she could be a teenage girl soon and smoking marijuana in the backyard. Wait, that's legal there. She could be snorting cocaine with her friends or drinking underage, which is even worse, in the backyard of her house. And then your cameras could catch that and she could get arrested, which is what needs to happen to all teenagers, right?
Well, it's your private property. If you want to feel like you want to do it, it's up to the individual.
So you do have something to hide, huh? What are you doing in that backyard, Sarah, that you don't want the police to know about?
Well, I don't know about that, but I wanted to talk about the
I'm just giving you a hard time, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah, I have a question for you. Are you anywhere near Milan, New Mexico? Milan?
No, I don't know what
that
is.
Why do you ask? What is that?
Flock Safety has deployed their systems in Milan, New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's elsewhere, but they at least have a footprint in New Mexico. So they have their whole system deployed in Milan, New Mexico. That's
all right, Sarah.
Just a cursory search.
What do you want to? What are you calling about?
Okay. That we got $300,000 driver's license. They got reinstated.
You did,
and
yeah.
It turns out $100,000. Of that are still suspended, and then many of them are CDL licensed. If you have if you're driving a truck license, your license are suspended, and I think all the other ones are from out of state, probably Wyoming, that state. If you have a driver's license from that state, you racked up a speeding camera ticket here.
So just to recap here for our listeners that maybe they weren't tuned in, however many months ago you called about this. You would call because in New Mexico, they had suspended so many people's licenses, as you said, over 300,000 of them, that it was actually hurting the economy because people can't go to work if they don't have a license. And so they decided that they were going to do an amnesty and actually unsuspend these people's licenses because they were too poor to pay off, because people in New Mexico are way poorer than a lot of other places.
Fact.
Too poor to pay it off, and they can't be productive. So it was a huge drain on the New Mexico welfare system or whatever, and the economy is suffering. So they actually did some amnesty, which is the right thing to do in that case. But you're calling tonight with an update saying there's 100,000 of them that are not being the suspensions are not being lifted because they're professional drivers with CDLs and they're from out of state.
That's correct. And then I think the other ones are the out of state license.
Mm.
They work together, our state and their state. So
they work together to oppress
Wyoming.
They share information to oppress each other's populations effectively.
Yeah. Yes, they're speeding and carrying on here. And it belongs to Wyoming, for example, that state.
Milan, by the way, is not far outside of Albuquerque. I guess it's kind of far, but it's west of Albuquerque.
Okay.
Yeah. Sarah, thank you for the call, and thanks for the update tonight. Appreciate it. The number here.
New Mexico, the land of entrapment.
They say that about every state.
Yeah, but their motto is the land of enchantment.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
So that's why I make the joke, land of entrapment.
what's the old joke is like, blank, you know, you leave on probation or something like that. Come on vacation, leave on probation. That's the old joke.
New Mexico, I don't know if this is still true, but they used to house the most prisoners not from the state of New Mexico.
Ooh, they're outsourced.
So they were prisons. like other prisons would send their inmates to New Mexico under contract, right? So they would outsource to New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Also, too, more people would get thrown into the prison system by getting arrested in New Mexico who weren't residents of New Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you want to join the show, the number is 603-283-6160. As I said earlier, I had a story related to what you were talking about with the Wyoming increased surveillance state system that's going on. It's happening in more than just Wyoming. This one is from Politico, and I've actually been holding on to it for a little while because it is important, but it's one of those stories we just never got to. But if it's in here, Department of Homeland Security has a program gathering domestic intelligence, and virtually no one knows about it, they say. Now, keep in mind, this story is 10 years after Edward Snowden's revelations came out. Okay, that was summer of 2013. That's 10 years ago. What has changed in that amount of time as far as national, federal surveillance of your activities?
Where is this from?
This is Politico.com.
Huh, interesting. I have something that may be related.
Something related from Reason?
Yeah. Let's hear yours.
For years, the Department of Homeland Security has run a virtually unknown program gathering domestic intelligence, one of many revelations in a wide-ranging tranche of internal documents reviewed by Politico. Those documents also reveal that a significant number of employees in DHS's intelligence, quote-unquote, office, have raised concerns that the work they're doing could be illegal.
No.
Their own bureaucrats are saying this might not be legal. Under the domestic intelligence program, officials are allowed to seek interviews with just about anyone in the United States. That includes people held in immigrant detention centers, local jails, and federal prison. DHS's intelligence professionals have to say they're conducting intelligence interviews, and they have to tell people they seek to interview that their participation is voluntary. But the fact that they're allowed to go directly to incarcerated people, circumventing their lawyers, raises important civil liberties concerns, according to legal experts.
Okay.
That specific element of the program, which has been in place for years, was paused last year because of internal concerns. Department of Homeland Security's Office of Intelligence and Analysis, which runs the program, uses it to gather information about threats to the United States, including transnational drug trafficking and organized crime. Now, how it is that people inside of a prison cell would know what's going on outside of a prison cell in regards to drug trafficking and organized crime, I don't know. It would seem the information would be pretty limited.
What's a microcosm? They can't keep drugs out of prison either. So.
That's true. They can probably talk a lot about the drugs in prison. But there's more coming up. We'll find out what it is that DHS is doing that has some of their own employees apparently concerned that they might be breaking the law.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. More than 100 million Americans are under heat advisories this weekend from coast to coast. The heat index in cities like New York, Washington, D.C., and Philadelphia soared into the triple digits, given the high humidity in many areas. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating two separate plane crashes that occurred Saturday afternoon in Wisconsin. Officials say two small aircraft collided midair at a regional airport near Oshkosh. A few hours later, a small plane carrying two passengers crashed into Lake Winnebago. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is calling for the immediate release of the president of Niger, who was taken captive during an attempted coup earlier in the week. The Mega Millions jackpot has topped $1 billion for Tuesday night's drawing. Jerry Varmash, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do. Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Live Saturday show. You can join us online, of course, anytime you like. Archives are there. They go back for a long time, many years. All for free over at freetalklive.com. So please enjoy that stuff. And big thanks to listeners like you, like Craig Thomas, who's a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It is a way that you, like Craig, can contribute as little as $5 a month to Free Talk Live to help us get Free Talk Live on more great radio stations and bring more ears and eyes on the internet to what we talk about here. If you appreciate the work that we do and you want to help us out, $5 a month, all it takes. You just go to amps.freetalklive.com, get signed up there. It is a Patreon system. If you don't care for Patreon, and I don't blame you, they're not the best, we have another option for you. You can go to our Odyssey channel, which is our main video system that we have out there, and you can join the Odyssey channel for $5 a month as well. And that means Odyssey will benefit instead of Patreon, because there's a little vig that goes to Odyssey for that, too. So it helps us out. It helps them out. Once again, that's video.freetalklive.com. You can click join at the top of the page or do amps.freetalklive.com.
Thanks, Craig.
Both. Or do them both. Yeah, thanks, Craig Thomas, for helping us out. So we're talking about the latest, or some of the latest, because the news just keeps coming, about the federal government thugs and their continual and increasing surveillance programs that they have against
people. You remember when all this used to be conspiracy theory?
Yeah, it's been a long time since it's been a conspiracy theory. But it's here.
Oh, you're crazy. The government would never deploy such sophisticated technology to surveil all of its citizens.
No, they would deploy even worse sophisticated technology.
We won't get into it, but this other article I have basically says that the United States government has been spying on American citizens so much and has such a vast database of information that they don't even know how much or how often.
How could they? I mean, there's so many different agencies, and there's so much secrecy
like
among them.
Like, it can't be counted.
Right. And we don't even know what it costs, right? If you don't know how much there is, you have no idea how to calculate what the expense of it all. But this particular program that Politico is focusing on, which involves interviewing people in prisons, as well as immigration detention centers and local jails, about various different things from alleged terrorism to drug dealing or whatever, organized crime, etc. It's called the Overt Human Intelligence Collection Program, the inner workings of which are described in the large tranche of internal documents.
Overt Human Intelligence Program? OHIP?
O-H-I-C-P. O-H-I-C-P.
Okay. Yeah. Government's even horrible at acronyms.
Normally they're pretty good at the acronyms. They come up, I think, with the acronym first, and then they just figure out words that backfill into it, like Patriot Act or whatever. Politico reviewed these. Is it tranche or tranche?
Tranche
documents. Tranche. T-R-A-N-C-H-E.
I don't know, actually.
Yeah, I think it just means like a bunch of.
Tranche, yeah, sure.
A release of a bunch of documents. But anyway, Politico reviewed these from the Office of Intelligence and Analysis. They contain additional interviews, the documents and additional interviews revealed widespread internal concerns about legally questionable tactics and political pressure. The documents also show that the people working there fear punishment if they speak out about mismanagement and abuses.
Gee, no.
You don't think Ed Snowden or...
I'm shocked.
You know, any of these other whistleblowers that have been targeted, Julian Assange, for instance, who didn't even work for the government, yeah. You don't think that the targeting of these individuals has anything to do with a chilling effect on the government agents themselves being willing to speak out? Yeah, well, it certainly does.
Of course it does.
Because they know they're going to be punished. They know that they may have charges cooked up against them.
Yeah.
Because, well, we've all heard the story that there's 3 felonies a day the average American commits.
I wonder if that's gone up by now.
Yeah, right? Because that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, and the laws just keep increasing in number.
It's got to be 5 by now,
yeah,
right?
You would think.
They'll find something. They'll find something for you. Or they'll just make something up or whatever, right? And that's what these guys are worried about. The fact that the government employees are worried about retribution should be all you need to know about why
right. This
has gone too far.
Yeah.
There's no turning this around.
Yeah.
You're not going to solve this problem through voting harder.
Right.
Okay, so the only option is to get out of the federal system by secession or by just up and leaving, one or the other. Anyway, more about the story here. So, they're fearing punishment. One unnamed employee, quoted in an April document from 2021, said leadership of the INA's Office of Regional Intelligence is, quote, shady and, quote, runs like a corrupt government. Another document said some employees worried so much about the legality of their activities, they wanted their employer to cover legal liability insurance. Note, they're not willing to quit. They're worried they're doing something illegal. They're speaking about it internally, anonymously, but no, they're not willing to actually quit their jobs where they may be doing illegal things. They just want to have their butts covered in the event that they get caught.
This speaks to the level of indoctrination of the regular person.
Carrie Bachner, formerly the career senior legislative advisor to the DHS under Secretary for Intelligence, said the fact that the agency is directly questioning Americans as part of a domestic intelligence program is deeply concerning, given the history of scandals related to past domestic intelligence programs by the FBI. She, who served as a DHS liaison with Capitol Hill from 2006 to 2010, said she told members of Congress adamantly, over and over and over again, that INA didn't collect intelligence in the United States. She said, quote, I don't know any counsel in their right mind that would sign off on that, and any member of Congress that would say that that's okay, she said, who currently runs a consulting firm, saying further, if these people are out there interviewing folks that still have constitutional privileges without their lawyer present, that is immoral.
Constitutional privileges?
That's an interesting wording.
Constitutional privileges?
Yeah, what is the definition of a privilege?
Well, it's not a right, that's for sure.
No, a privilege is something you have to ask permission for.
Right.
A right is something you can just simply exercise because, well, you're a human being.
Because of the basis of existence.
Yeah. A privilege can be denied.
Right.
A right is supposed to be respected. Now, obviously, they don't care about your rights.
Obviously.
The Undersecretary for Intelligence and Analysis, Kenneth Weinstein from DHS, a former federal prosecutor who took the helm of INA last June, said in a statement his office is addressing its employees' concerns. No need to worry, little people. We've heard your concerns, and we are addressing them.
We'll take them under advisement.
Right. A spokesbureaucrat provided Politico with a list of steps the office has taken since September of 2020 to address internal complaints, including conducting a number of new trainings and hiring 2 full-time ombudsmen. Don't worry, the ombudsmen are on the case.
Oh, my gosh, there's that word again. I can't remember the definition of ombudsman.
I think it's like somebody who reviews a performance or something.
Yeah, it's
something
just the
like
weirdest
that.
Word ever.
Yeah. In its statement, INA didn't address the domestic intelligence program, not surprisingly, but Politico reviewed an email sent last August saying the portion of the program involving interviews with prisoners who'd received their Miranda rights was temporarily halted because of internal concerns. Quote, the true measure of a government organization is its ability to preserve through challenging times, openly acknowledge and learn from those challenges, and move forward in the service of the American people. Said Weinstein.
Yeah, you're all getting serviced, all right.
He said further, the Office of Intelligence and Analysis has done just that over the past few years. Together, we will ensure that our work is completely free from politicization.
That's all your work is.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That our workforce feels free to raise all views and concerns, and that we continue to deliver the quality, objective intelligence that is so vital to our homeland security partners.
This makes me want to puke. All the bureaucratic speak.
Yeah, and if you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you in San Francisco. A key theme that emerges from internal documents is that in recent years, many people working at INA have said they fear they're breaking the law.
They fear they're breaking the law.
Well, I mean, how could they really know?
Well,
they're not lawyers.
Well, who checks on that?
Lawyers.
Well, and who checks on them?
No one.
And who checks on them?
Yeah. You know, who watches the watchers?
Exactly.
Politico reviewed a slide deck titled INA Management and Management Analysis and Assistance Program Survey Findings for FOD, which the governments always have these mouthful titles and such. FOD refers to their Field Operations Division, now called the Office of Regional Intelligence, which is the largest part of the office, with personnel working around the country. They work with state, local, and private sector partners, collect intelligence, and analyze intelligence. When a U.S. The U.S. faces a domestic crisis related to national security or public safety. People in this section are expected to be the first to know about it and then relay what they learn to their office's leadership. Their focus includes domestic terror attacks, cyber attacks, border security issues, and natural disasters, apparently, along with a host of other threats and challenges. The survey described was conducted in April of 2021. A person familiar with it said they asked respondents about the events of 2020. And they were based on 126 responses. Half of the respondents said they had alerted managers of their concerns that their work involved activity that was inappropriate or illegal. The slide deck seems to try to put a positive spin on this news, saying, quote, there is an opportunity to work with employees to address concerns they have about the appropriateness or lawfulness of a work activity.
Yeah, you're fired.
Half of the respondents have voiced to management a concern about this, many of whom feel their concern was not appropriately addressed. Other documents laid out concerns related to a specific internal dispute about how the law applies to their interactions with American citizens. 3 texts govern their activities. Title 50 of the U.S. Code, which talks about national security, and executive order, which details how the...
Okay, hang on. Yeah. My concern hasn't been addressed by the government. What can I do about it?
Leave would be...
You're supposed to say, what's your concern, Captain?
Yeah. What's your concern?
That government is illegitimate.
Yeah, they're never going to address that one. No.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I've tried to tell them on multiple occasions I don't consent, and they just keep on doing things to me.
I know.
Even though their own documents say they're founded in consent, it doesn't appear to have any truth whatsoever.
Nope, none.
It seems as though they're founded in violence and that they do whatever it is they want to do.
Yeah, like
anytime they want.
You were simplifying things earlier, and I thought to myself, this reminds me of something I heard from somebody else. All you should need to know as to whether or not government is legitimate or an organization worth keeping around is the ends do not justify the means.
Yeah.
That's really all you should look at. Do the ends justify the means? No. Overwhelmingly, no. The evidence shows, if you just look at it, the evidence shows no. It's totally, it's overwhelming.
So, this article here is talking about the code, the law, quote unquote, that applies supposedly to these bureaucracies.
Okay.
And this Title 50, they say, means that they face strict rules related to intelligence activity about targeting U.S. citizens. But what good are the strict rules if the very agencies who are tasked with enforcing them are ignoring them?
Mm-hmm.
Why would they enforce the, quote, strict rules upon themselves?
Right.
And here you have 126 internal bureaucrats being surveyed, half of them saying they believe that they are committing acts within their jobs that are inappropriate or illegal, and the department's just saying, oh, well, we just need to have a chat about this. We've heard your concerns.
We'll bring it up in the meeting next month, and we'll file multiple triplicate paperwork about it, and then nothing will ever happen.
So, in 2020, in November, apparently, after Election Day, Robin Taylor, their director of the Field Operations Division, emailed multiple officials a summary of 12 listening sessions. I mean, this sounds so corporate, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. It sounds so just boring and god-awful.
Yeah.
We're going to put together 12 sessions called listening sessions. They probably hired consultants
to
come up with this idea. What can we do to it? And they're like, you should have a series of meetings, and you could call them listening sessions.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and the consultants can bill for every hour.
Yeah, they probably made $100,000 off of the government just for that.
An ombudsman, by the way, is a government official who hears and investigates complaints by private citizens against other officials and government agencies.
Hears and what complaints?
Investigates.
Oh, but doesn't actually do anything about it.
No, yeah.
They just hear it and then investigate it
real hard.
But then they don't actually do anything about it.
Well, right. If they actually did something, they'd be out of a job. Right? So the listening sessions, they held these 12 of them, and an internal employee watchdog held this with their division employees. Like, the idea, I love the words with government. They make it sound so serious. We have a watchdog.
Yeah.
We have a task force.
Wait a minute. Are these First Amendment auditors ombudsman? No, because they're not paid.
Mm, yeah.
They're doing
actual real work that you can watch,
right, yeah,
and you can observe, and you can have an opinion about. So they had these meetings. The email included a few lines referencing employees' concerns about the scope and appropriateness of their work. Quote, many taskings seem to be law enforcement matters and not for an intelligence organization, read one portion. Another said, how is any of this related to our Title 50 authorities? Even if we are technically allowed to do this, should we? What was the intent of Congress when they created us? Departmental support seems like a loophole that we exploit to conduct questionable activities.
Seems like? No, it is. It actually totally and completely is.
Another line from the same document was even more bleak. Quote, showing where we provide value is very challenging. I almost feel bad for these bureaucrats. Like, they seem seem like they have a soul or like a conscience.
They're just blissfully unaware.
They don't want it to be true, right? Like, they don't. Are you sure this isn't illegal? This seems like it might be. Just tell us it's not illegal. We need a lawyer to tell us what we're doing.
I'm surprised that's not what happened. I'm surprised they didn't have these meetings go, yeah, no, it's all legal. It's fine. Oh, okay. Everybody back to work. I'm surprised that didn't happen.
They're just not saying it.
Also, why the did it take 12 meetings?
Mm-hmm.
Like you probably could have, like, summarized this in, like, I don't know, you know, a few meetings with certain people.
So Field Operations had another document from the listening sessions where the ombudsman, the internal sounding board for employee concerns, showed the concerns persisted into the Biden administration. Oh, wow, what a shock.
Oh, you mean the problems of government cross over from president to president, from regime
to
regime?
Isn't that a shock?
And, wow. And the problems don't change or get better. No, in fact, they just continue to get worse.
Yeah. And they said that these bureaucrats...
Who could have ever told anybody that that's what's happening? If only there were some sort of media program that was broadcast nationwide and on the internet that would tell people that this is going on. I think we should start something like that. What do you think?
Great idea. The document says, quote, INA and FOD leadership don't seem to understand how Title 50 applies to the FOD, which causes conflicts, said the document. Whoa, wait a minute. Are you saying government bureaucrats aren't able to read the law and understand it? I mean, because that
makes
sense,
right? They don't even write
it
most of the time.
They don't write it. Okay, we're not talking about lawyers. We're talking about top bureaucrats in these government, quote, intelligence departments. They read this crap and they're like, oh, well, we'll just do whatever we want. And then if we get, I mean, if they even read it. They just do whatever they want to do, and it doesn't even matter because they're never going to be held accountable for it.
I'm just thinking of like a Saturday Night Live style or a Mad TV style skit where, like, you've opened a trade school, but you're training bureaucrats instead of welders or carpenters or whatever, right? Your trade is bureaucracy, so you're training bureaucrats, and basically the training consists of, well, nothing.
Can you write? Okay, have a nice day. You're hired.
Like, it doesn't even matter if you can read or comprehend. Right. So can you push paper? Okay. You're hired. Right? Here's your diploma.
Let's go to the phones here. Riley is on the line. New mover here to New Hampshire. Riley Blake, the editor of the Free Talk Live Digest edition of the show. Welcome, sir.
Welcome home.
Thank you. I appreciate the welcome. So I wanted to update people on an event we had here in Keene.
Mm-hmm.
It was the cannabis rally. We met at Railroad Square and talked about cannabis decrim and had a good time. So
yes, cannabis was smoked. I did not participate because that would break my bail conditions, but boy, was I jealously wishing I could.
Oh,
I was coveting that cannabis, I will tell you.
I bet you were.
Yeah.
I would love to smoke with you one day.
Yeah, one of these days. We'll get there.
One of these days.
But what about it? I mean, this you kind of brought back something that has been gone for some amount of years. I mean, basically ever since decriminalization happened in 2017, the cannabis legalization movement has essentially fallen off the radar.
Right, and that's the thing I wanted to bring back is, you know, let's celebrate the fact that we have what we have here in New Hampshire and enjoy it in public. And
I agree.
I like it.
And also...
Which is, by the way, civil disobedience, I'd like to point out, because it is still illegal, even though it is decriminalized. It is not legal to consume it in public,
right.
And it's not legal to possess. It's just you're going to get a ticket instead of get arrested and charged with a misdemeanor. You'll get a violation.
And supposedly it's the lowest thing that they're going to prosecute.
Yeah, they're barely, I mean, in Keene, they're not even really writing tickets at all for it. But, you know, if you push it, maybe they will write you one.
Well, I hope I don't have to have a ticket, but who knows?
Well, if you're going to commit civil disobedience, I mean, it's good to hope that you don't, but the more times you're downtown smoking pot, the higher the likelihood that at some point a law enforcement officer in uniform is going to walk by, and that will be the ultimate test of this particular event, is to see whether that officer will simply continue to walk or if they will come over and pull out the ticket book.
Yeah, that will be the test for sure. My thoughts are that eventually they've got to look the other way because it's just getting too popular.
I hope so. I don't smell it as often as I would like to. You know, I mean, Keene's not a busy, and sometimes the downtown's busy, but, you know, if you're downtown, you don't smell the wafting smoke of somebody sparking up a joint or whatever very often.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll happen more often now.
Well, that's the problem with government corruption is these so-called government people think they have the right to kind of plant to ingest.
Yeah.
My plant of choice is a psychoactive plant, much like coffee, much like tobacco. And why can't I enjoy it?
I think you should be able to, and I fully support your event, even though I am not able to participate meaningfully in it, which is why I came out yesterday. Bonnie and I were there, as you know. It was actually, I was surprised at the turnout. There were several people that came out yesterday for what was the first of what you're going to be making into a weekly event, as I understand it. Is that right?
That's right. That's the plan.
Okay.
We're going to start off having it on Fridays, and if we need to change the day, we can always change the day. Let's stick with Friday.
Should we assume that, like, if you already participate in cannabis-related activities, you know what time this event occurs?
Yep, we should.
There you go. It's also on the calendar, by the way, at the Free State Project or the Free Keen calendar. If you go to fsp.org/calendar, it should show up there. So anybody that's visiting here in New Hampshire, you might want to swing on by Railroad Square on 420, or at 420 on any old Friday, apparently. Now, Riley, are you going to go hardcore on this and do it through the wintertime?
Well, I don't know, but if people want to come, I'll try and get there.
All right. Very good. Thank you for the call tonight.
That's awesome, man.
I appreciate hearing from you. And by try and get there, he's blind, so, you know, he has to usually have somebody take him because he lives about a half hour away from Keene. So the level of you know, dedication, level of dedication here is very, very high from Riley. And this is what, you know, we need more people like
this. It's very high.
Very high. So I hear. But we need more people like this, people that have the energy to, you know, step up and start something new. Now, in this case, he's bringing back something that was popular in the past, whether it's bringing back an old favorite or starting something completely new or getting involved in an existing organization that could use some fresh blood and some help and some new ideas. We've got thousands of liberty activists that are here in New Hampshire, but we need thousands more.
Okay? Yeah,
we cannot rest on our laurels. Activists do burn out. I know Joa, for instance, who was hosting our Thursday night show for some time, unfortunately, may be suffering from some activist burnout. You mentioned the First Amendment auditors.
Yep.
He is one of the more noteworthy ones out there.
Yeah,
and,
sure enough.
And he's feeling burned out. That's why he moved to Grafton recently. Yeah. So, you know, we got to have more people coming in here. The more people we have, the less burnout, I think, will happen, the less less attrition, et cetera. Check out the Free State Project. I'll put the full story here from Politico, because this whole thing about these bureaucrats saying they think something illegal is going on, I mean, this is a long, in-depth investigation into these documents that apparently have been released about this. But I think we've had some interesting takeaways, and that is that these bureaucrats, they're just doing anything they want to do. They don't know what the law says. They don't know how it applies. They don't care how it applies. The ones that are concerned about it aren't concerned enough to quit their jobs over it, but they think they might be doing illegal things, and it didn't matter whether it was under Trump or under Biden, because the same crap keeps happening. But you think you're going to vote your way out of it? Yeah, secession, I think, is probably the only answer here. We'll see you tomorrow night.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government, or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.